بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: أتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم برجل قد شرب خمرا، قال: اضربوه. قال أبو هريرة: فمنا الضارب بيده، والضارب بنعله، والضارب بثوبه. فلما انصرف قال بعض القوم: أخزاك الله. قال: لا تقولوا هكذا، لا تعينوا عليه الشيطان. رواه البخاري. Yesterday we began the hadith with the discussion of the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed that if a slave girl has to commit fornication and her guilt is established, then she should be flogged the had. However, once the punishment is meted out, do not scold her, do not taunt her, do not pick upon her. However, if she commits fornication again, then Rasulullah ﷺ said the second time also, flog her, but do not taunt her. Do not keep reminding her of her wrong, or do not label her. If she commits the third time, then sell her, even though it may be for a robe made out of strand. In other words, a very, very inferior return, or hardly a meager sum, but get rid of her. In other words, we discussed the meaning of this hadith, and as I mentioned, there were one or two issues which ulama kiram explained with regards to this hadith. First is, Rasulullah ﷺ instructed that if this person, the slave girl in this instance, persists in this wrong or in this guna, then distance yourself from her. How will you distance yourself from a slave girl? Obviously, you will sell her. This last expression, walau bihablim min sha'r, even though you may get a meager return for her. In this is indication that you have to, this repeatedly committing fornication in a slave girl is an indication of a defect. So if she is going to be sold, she is going to be sold as a commodity. And the overriding principle and rule of Shariat, when you sell something, that you have to reveal the defect. Don't hide the fault in the merchandise of the goods that you are selling. So in other words, when you are on selling the slave girl, reveal this fault that she has in her. So the return you will get is minimal. Now the question arises, ulama ikram say, is this not contrary to the overriding principle of Shariat that whenever, whatever you have, you must wish good for others? Now this is a defect. You are getting rid of it, but you are passing on the problem to somebody else. So the explanation that is given with regards to that, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he says there is a possibility that in the change of ownership, it may lead to the reform of the slave girl. On the one hand, this environment in which he is now is conducive to her committing the sin over and over again. The new owner, his kindness, or his manner of dealing with her, or he may even marry her. This may lead to her islah and her changing her ways. However, if you continue to keep her without getting rid of her, then indirectly this means that you are content with her repeated transgression. And this Islam does not allow. You have to show in your heart a dislike. Like we said, hate the sin, don't hate the individual. In other words, don't taunt her, don't rebuke her, but distance yourself from her so that it is clear and apparent that you are not in favor of the wrong that is being carried out by this particular individual. The overriding and important principle for us to understand, my respected brothers, in these various ahadith, where on the one hand, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if somebody commits wrong, somebody makes guna, sin in front of you, then make satari. Conceal that, don't reveal it. Don't publicly humiliate that person. Don't spread the defects of others. Behind all this is what? Ulama ikram explained, behind this, the broader principle that we have to understand is that the goal and the objective is islah. In other words, reformation. Whatever wrong, whatever sin, whoever is committing, your attitude and your conduct eventually with that person must lead to that person making tawbah or that person changing his life. This becomes clearer in the next hadith which we just read, where Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala who says that a person was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this person قَدْ شَرِبَ خَمْرًا had drunk liquor, which is totally prohibited, totally haram. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Sahaba to beat this person. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala who says that some of us hit him with our hands, some with our shoes, some with the sides of our clothing. However, when this finished, after this person had went away, somebody passed a statement, and he said, أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ, may Allah disgrace you, may Allah disgrace you, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Madina Munawwara, and you are drinking liquor, you are doing something totally haram and prohibited, filthy, dirty practice like this, may Allah disgrace you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't do this. La taqulu hakadha. Don't even say such a thing. Why? Because when you will do this, la tu'inu alayhi shaitan. Don't assist shaitan over your brother. Why? As we mentioned, overriding principle is islah and reformation. If you are going to make baddua for that person, if you are going to curse that person, what is more likely to happen? You are more likely, like Hazrat Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, He used to say, Aaj munkarat mahbub ho chuke. Aaj munkarat mahbub ho chuke. Today, we are living in an environment where haram, where wrong, where Allah's disobedience has become beloved to the people. People like it. Instead of having hatred in the heart for guna, today people advertise their sins. Aaj mahbub ho chuke. Aur insaan ka fitrat aise hai ki agar aap uske mahbub cheez ke khilaf baat karenge, wo zid par aa jayenge. And human nature is such that if you attack something that somebody loves, then he will become stubborn, he will become rebellious, he will oppose you. He says, it is better, show him something better on his own, he will leave the wrong that he is involved in. In other words, don't label people, don't lash out at the individual, don't make baddua, don't, like sometimes, person who hasn't been to the masjid for years, one day it comes in his heart, Allah Ta'ala gives him the tawfiq, he walks in the masjid, the moment somebody sees him, hey, it's not Eid day today. You didn't see the Eid moon. Now whatever himmat or courage it took for that person to try and change his life, to make tawbah, to come to the masjid, there and then, already he loses that. Because of the reaction, because of the taunting, because of labeling individuals. This person committed such a wrong in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, drinking liquor. And yet, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Don't curse him. Don't label him. Don't taunt him. Punishment was given, was carried out. Finish. Now we find that what is the had? What is the punishment if a person in an Islamic state is caught drinking liquor? With regards to that, ulama ikram say that in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no fixed punishment was given. This is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, beat him. Somebody hit him with a stick. Somebody with his hands, and then it was over. In other words, with the hope that this person will make tawbah and change his life. It is said that in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai al-rashideen al-mahdiyeen. Tamassaku biha wa addu alayha bin nawajiz. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I command you to follow my sunnat and the sunnat of my khulafai rashideen. In other words, the four righteous khalifas. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. So we find that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, the instruction was given that just beat him. Sahaba in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum made mashwara, and they introduced public flogging of a person who repeatedly was found drinking liquor, that he would be lashed 40 times. Like I said again, the principle is for the person to make islah. In the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Islam spread far and wide. Obviously the number of Muslims increased. The distance from Madina Munawwara also increased. So the tendency of this wrong also increased because of Islam spreading far and wide. So that time Sahaba Ikram made mashwara. Various opinions were taken. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned that akhaful hudud, the lightest established had, is 80 lashes. 80 lashes for who? For a person who accuses a chaste woman, etc., of fornication or adultery, as we mentioned previously, the had for that is 80 lashes. This is the lightest. So he said that this is the lightest had, so let us introduce this for a person who drinks alcohol or is caught in an Islamic state. So this was introduced in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But very, very important, my respected brothers, coming back to the hadith, is this latter part when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why must you not curse this person? Why not taunt him? Why not rebuke him? What did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? La tu'inu alayhi shaitan. Don't assist shaitan against him. Your role is to reform the person. Your role is to bring him close to Allah's obedience. By doing this, you are in fact making him the victim of shaitan. Very beautifully this point is illustrated in one incident which occurred in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which inshallah we will discuss.